ball spark. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Friday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. I know there's kids out there today because it's spring break, the final Friday of spring break. I'm going to give them a lesson on how to make life simple at the end of the show.
Well, I got one way, but what? Okay, I'm interested to hear what your way
just,
is.
It's just kind of a simple rule to live by in life.
Okay.
Everything's complicated. Everything's kind of weird in this world we live in. So I'm just going to make it more simple. You know, I always hear that keep it simple, stupid.
Sure.
I'm going to make it simple for them. I'm going to educate the children out there at the end of the show. See what you think if this is the words to live by. Man, the NFL, even though March Madness is going, the NFL still is right at the top of the news cycle. As we left yesterday, Devontae Adams traded from the Raiders. Now, there were some reports out there he wasn't going to play under the franchise tag, which to me meant, okay, well, they'll figure out a deal. Nope. So Adams is reunited with his college teammate, Derek Carr, out there in Las Vegas. How do you think Aaron Rodgers is feeling right about now? Oh, no. The AFC West.
Do you think they would at least go run that by him? Go, listen, we got this deal for you, but we're going to have to let someone go to make it work.
I don't think so.
Oh, dear.
I don't. I mean, maybe not, but you wouldn't think a guy in his position that was kind of up in the air about playing or playing for them. Boy, you wouldn't think this would make him all that happy.
Oh, no.
Also makes that Jordan Love draft pick of a couple years ago look a little worse because that's not a receiver that could step in and fill the shoes of Devontae Adams. Will we see Aaron Rodgers actually play? He's on, you know, he signed that new deal. It could be pretty fascinating up there. And you know what? Frees up cap, so maybe they have a different idea and going a different route, and that's why we're not going to see much from him. It's okay. God, I want Devontae. We can't pay him that. But we can pay so-and-so $20 million or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Browns are going to Browns, right?
Of course, yeah.
Browns.
He fits right in that narrative.
Are going to Browns. We'll talk about that situation. Baker requested a trade yesterday. Deshaun Watson apparently down to two teams. So which one of those, Atlanta or New Orleans? I think the Browns right now are cheering like the Dickens for it to be Atlanta. And I'll tell you why. And then, of course, the NCAA tournament tipped off yesterday. Started out, the hits came from the first to a lot of people's brackets. And then the dagger last night for a couple of brackets. Especially one bald, middle-aged man from Kentucky that's in the Skinny on Sports Bracket Challenge. It's not every day your champion gets beat out on the first day, is it?
Oh, no.
I'm not going to give my buddy from Arkansas near as much grief as I will give Coach Hunt. And by the way, I should have never taken his advice. I texted him right before I submitted my bracket. How you feel about the Cats? And he's like, oh, national champion, but I think that every year. Well, this was the wrong year to think that. But it was a great day. Man, it was
a lot of fun, very entertaining.
Yeah, starting even some of those early games that got away from, you know, the spread got larger than really how close those games were, Michigan being one of those. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like Michigan kind of was in control. That could not be further from the truth.
No.
South Dakota State made a run at, you know, even the games that didn't turn out real close were fun. And then last night was just great.
Even a blowout game saw a cheerleader come to the rescue. Which was like, hey, well, it gives them something to root for. The losing team being Indiana, of course. So yesterday was a lot of fun. I enjoyed everything I turned on.
It was a lot of fun. And it's weird because I don't know if I mentioned this yesterday on the air or was talking to somebody. For the amount of college basketball I've watched this year, which is by far the least ever, I was actually more excited than I have been for the tournament. And maybe it's because it's back to normal. You know, you missed 2020. Last year was the bubble, and it seemed weird. You know, it just didn't seem right. But man, maybe that's part of it. Maybe just, you know, I don't know. But it was fun yesterday. Hopefully that can keep up. Got some former Oklahoma prep stars making a huge difference yesterday. A couple of guys. One in particular at Creighton there with the big shots down the stretch for the Blue Jays to pull off that win in overtime. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. And hopefully that works. We were trying to mess with the text line earlier and couldn't get anything. So we may have to get that to the attention of those that
have
need
to put in a ticket.
225-9698. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the app. Paragon Communications app has it all. It's got three radio stations. It's got the Penny News. Big Elk TV and Paragon TV, when they're on the air, you can go there. Oh, there it came just now.
Well, that was 10 minutes
delayed. So if we don't get to your question right off, hang in there and listen, and we'll see it eventually. Also, Skinny on Sports Podcast, iTunes, and also KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and check us out that way. All right, Jared, how are you today?
I'm much better, thank you. Much, much better. It was amazing. This stomach bug's going around, so get ready. I feel like everybody's going to get it, but I had a call yesterday. Say, hey, I think I got it too. Asking me for advice. It's like, well, just brace yourself. There's nothing really you can do. But after I had a meal last night, I was kind of reluctant. I was like, I got to eat. So I ate, and it stayed down. It was great. So I feel much better. Slept well. I think I'm back to 100%. I got a little bit of a cough. It's nothing that's bothering me. So I'm good. You feel okay? I'm real worried because we share a room in here. I'm real worried that...
Yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
I am just fine.
I probably shouldn't have come to work yesterday when I look back. Because it wasn't until later in the afternoon that I started feeling like I'm finally feeling back to my old self. But that yesterday morning was a haze, man. I did the show with you in a haze. I was in a...
Well, so did I, but for different reasons. So. I was just tired.
We were both drinking water for different reasons. But I'm good.
It's amazing
now.
How much water you can drink in a day.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm good now.
I'll probably need to do that again. it was a perfect day for the tournament to tip off. You know, the motivation wasn't necessarily off the charts to get a bunch of work done. And there were the basketball games. Just perfect timing. And like we said earlier, it was a good day. There was a couple of blowouts. Tennessee did what they were supposed to do. I think the one that maybe, not that they won, but by the margin they won, would you say maybe North Carolina's the result and the spread in that one was maybe the most surprising one in that way,
considering it was an 8-9 matchup.
Exactly.
Usually those are pretty tight.
And it was never close.
And their toss-ups, but it was never close.
No, Carolina just whipped them from the start. And that's, I think, I mean, I've had Baylor losing to North Carolina. And so that's where, you know, for me.
Gonzaga for a half was
When we left, Iowa had just gotten beat by Richmond. And Gonzaga was up 2 at halftime. And by the way, that lasted... That's another one. When you look at the score, you're like, oh, yeah, Gonzaga, easy. That was like a 2-point game with 10 minutes left.
Yeah, it took them, what was that run? 20-some point run.
Yeah.
20-0 run.
Kind of in the middle of the second, or toward the, right in the middle there.
Yeah, and as a Thunder fan, I'm convinced. I went home, Grim.
Man, I told you, all you got to do is watch him once.
Just his production, his final line was awesome. The double-double, almost triple-double, and just the way he plays, it reminded me of a certain someone that the Thunder drafted a long time ago.
What did I tell you?
Yeah. Yeah, that's the guy I want. But that's a whole other conversation. Let's get through this tournament and get to the draft before we start talking about that. But yeah,
I mean, here it is. It was 50. It was 62-58. So a 4-point lead for Gonzaga with 10:38. I knew it was like right in the middle, like right at the middle of the half. Yeah, so 62 to 83. So 21-0. I couldn't remember off the top of my head, so I had to look it up. But yeah, 21-0. And I know, by the way, you mentioned those. Holmgren scored the last seven in that run. They're good, man. They got those inside. Him and Timmy are a really good pair. And I think that's what they were missing off last. They were missing a guy like Holmgren to pair with Timmy. You know what I mean? From last year's team.
Yeah.
The guards aren't as good. Obviously, they don't have a Suggs. They may not even have a guy like Kispert. But, boy, Holmgren makes a big old difference. But, yeah, that's one of those that looks like, oh, yeah, Gonzaga cruised. Absolutely not. And not until the last 10 minutes of the game. Carolina, as I mentioned, just blew out Marquette. But then, of course, we got to talk about the upsets. And it started with Richmond knocking off Iowa. That was a game, you'd mentioned it yesterday. Richmond was
not
dang lucky to be in the tournament.
Right.
I mean, who did they lose to? Who did they beat in that tournament final? Golly. I've drawn a blank.
I'll effort it.
Da-da-da-da-da, it's over there. Oh, my gosh. It's somebody else in the tournament.
I'm looking.
Davidson. Golly.
Davidson, yeah.
Davidson blew that game. Absolutely blew that game down the stretch. And of the conference, of that conference tournament. And Richmond sneaks in. I mean, when you look in the regular season, they were 1, 2, 3, 4, the sixth best team in that conference.
Yeah.
In the Atlantic 10. And they find a way to come back and win that one. And then yesterday, it just kind of felt like one of those coming down to the wire. Like a lot of times in these tournament games, it starts out and you're like, okay, maybe. Then you get to halftime, it's still pretty close, and you're like, okay, now how does the second half start? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then once the second half gets going, then you're like, okay, this is for real. This is going to be a close game. And that's the way it was to me for that one. You kind of felt like just waiting on Iowa to show up, waiting on Iowa to do what they did all last week. And it just never happened.
And they had their chances even with 60 seconds left. They had their chances, and Richmond always had an answer.
Yeah, Richmond kind of missed some free throws to keep a minute, and then Iowa took advantage, but they couldn't get all the way. They couldn't take all the advantage.
Right.
You know, Keegan Murray was a guy a lot of people were looking forward to watching, I think. Maybe especially around here, because if things don't go well in the lottery, he's kind of one of those guys that's in that next space from, say, 4 to 8, depending on where that pick would be for the Thunder. He had 21 on 8 of 15 shooting, but he missed all three threes. And it was kind of a quiet 21, if that makes sense, where you never really felt like he was taking control of the game like you thought he might, if that makes sense. So Richmond started things off, and then last night New Mexico State got out to a pretty big lead and were able to hang on and beat Connecticut 70-63. So that's two 12s that were able to knock off fives. Vermont gave Arkansas absolutely all they wanted to as a 13-4. Akron did the same thing to UCLA as a 13-4. Both those four seeds win by 4 points. And then there was Kentucky. Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky.
You know where they're going?
They're going home.
Back to their old Kentucky home.
Oh, I see what you did there.
I saw a promo for the Kentucky Derby earlier this morning. It got me to thinking that. It was a fun game. I mean,
It really was.
It was a fun game. There was times where you thought, okay, Kentucky's going to take control. It's a cute little story for the Peacocks, which, by the way, I may be changing shirt choice in our...
I love it. Yeah. I love the mascot.
Did you have any idea who they were before last night?
Of course not. No, there's every year there's a team or a school that gets in this thing, and you go, who? Where? And then they start spouting off, only 2,000 undergrads are going to this school from Jersey City. It's the St. Peter's Peacocks.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see it coming either. Like when you see St. Peter's, Peacocks is one of the last things you're going to choose as maybe their mascot.
I love that. That's the best mascot right now in the tournament. I can't think of a better one. I cannot think of a better one. The Peacocks. That's so cool. Well, now, that game was fun. When it went to overtime, you knew you had this feeling. And then even the way the overtime started, Kentucky got a couple buckets. Okay, well, there it is. And then they missed the free throws and missed the free throws. And me and my wife, my kids were not at home. They're at my dad's. And I just wish my kids were there so I could say, this is why we practice the free throws.
That's exactly
right. You hate it. You moan about it. But this is why. I look at Allie, I'm like, God, see, they're missing these free throws. They can hit these wild threes like St. Peter's did, but they can't make free throws. Kentucky was, what, 1 of 6 in overtime on free throw shooting, I think, at one point?
Yeah, 23 of 35 total.
It's bad.
Whereas St. Peter's was 18 of 21.
This is why you make your free throws. This is why you would practice them, kiddos.
I mean, the shooting stats are not even close. I mean, you just look at the shooting stats. St. Peter's 51%, 29 of 57 from the field, 9 of 17 from 3, which is 53, and then, of course, 85% from the line at 18-21. Kentucky, 26 of 61, 4 of 15 from 3, 23 of 35 from the line. I mean, quite frankly, offensive rebounding kept them there. But it's an even game on the stat sheet outside of St. Mary's was able – I mean, think about this. They only lost 5 points at the line in 14 fewer attempts. And they were plus 15 from behind the arc on just 2 more attempts. So that's where they were able to stay in there. And Kentucky just could not get it done. You want to talk about a sad state right now. So Louisville is hiring a new coach, and Kentucky's headed home after the first round upset as a 2 seed. State of Kentucky is in mourning as we speak. So is Coach Hunt's bracket.
Was Kentucky, and just for the sake of argument, I'm not trying to throw jabs here.
Oh, it's okay.
Were they overrated? Were they overranked at 2?
I don't think so.
Because last year they were dismal, right?
I don't think they were. I think they were one of the better teams.
Were they last year? I mean, my point is that last year kind of creep into this year for Kentucky. They finished 3rd in the SEC. You know, I'm just for the sake of argument, were they, or did they get it right with the 2 seed, and they just didn't show up, or they show? I mean, listen, they showed up. They went to overtime, but they just didn't finish. So you think they were?
I think they were fine.
Where they needed to be?
Yeah, I think they were fine.
Okay.
You know, I think people might would have rather seen, you know, Tennessee as the 2 and Kentucky as the 3.
See, that's where I was
because
gonna
of
go.
That win in the SEC tournament. So if you want to make that case, I think you probably can. But it's not like they should have been a 5 and got a 2.
But they went 1-2 versus Tennessee this year.
So that's what I was just about. I was thinking they split in the regular season, and then of course they lost that game in the SEC tournament. You know, I think it's one of those things that the SEC was really good at the top, and so they probably got a loss or two that they wouldn't normally have with Auburn being as good as they were. You know, we'll see about LSU in the tournament, but there was a point there where they were really playing well. And it's a different Kentucky team than I think we're used to with Calipari. It's not as many of the one and done guaranteed high draft pick type teams. You know what I'm saying? And I don't know if that's by design or if it's just because he's lost out on a couple of guys that were going there 10 years ago. It seemed like every single year they had, you know, the number one pick in the draft or right there close. You know, for a pretty good stretch of the middle of the last decade or the start of the last decade, it was every single year. And it doesn't feel like he's had that top level talent for the last couple years. And so maybe it's a sign of a dip in recruiting. You know, I don't it just didn't work out last night. And I think we're burying the lead. And that is St. Peter's was awesome. You know, they were just awesome. And the offense they ran, they were good. They got good. There's a reason why they shot 53% because they got good shots almost every time down the floor. It was impressive. Those dudes were impressive last night.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting to see if they can do what ORU did last year and not only get the first upset, but then do it again.
Oh, great opportunity.
Get into
whether it was going to be Murray State or San Francisco, they have a great opportunity.
And then that's,
because now that you slayed the Giant, now you're taking on these Now you're taking Murray State.
Well, and here's the thing.
They're not as intimidating. Let's just face it.
No, and how you know good and well, Murray State, when they saw the draw, they couldn't wait.
Oh, yeah.
They couldn't wait to get to play Big Bad Kentucky in their same, you know, in the same state. Because you know good and well that's one of those they want to play, but they don't get to. We want to play Kentucky. They got, and so are they kind of
let down
a little bit? Like, oh really, St. Peter's?
Now they're going to let their guard down a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay, well, now we get St. Peter's.
Yeah.
Okay, let's just go in there and take care of biz. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But that was an awesome game. Murray State and San Francisco, it was one that we both had targeted as, like, must-watches in this first round, and it was great.
It was good. I thought they were going to be okay. And but credit Murray State, higher seed for a reason.
So, also yesterday, before we get to today, a couple of dudes that played OK Preps basketball were fantastic. Brady Manick. Wonder if I heard Jim and Al talking about this yesterday afternoon as North Carolina was starting the just evisceration of Marquette. Wonder if OU fans are still griping about Brady Manick. 28-11, 5-10 from 3, 10-15 from the field. You know, that's one of those weird mysteries of how did he get onto the kind of the whipping boy side of the OU fan base? Because it seemed like he did. Like,
I don't know, is it just because
he's from Oklahoma?
Never was for me. I don't know. I don't know where that came from.
But there was. I mean, when you'd read message boards or you'd hear, you know, there was always like a. It just felt like because I always thought just because he's from Oklahoma, and they wanted, you know, Sooner fans wanted the Oklahoma kid to be something that he wasn't. I mean, but he was a good player.
He went through a shooting slump. Through the Oklahoma kids that have come to OU, it's pretty. They're taking a pretty high regard. I mean, you're looking at Blake Griffin, you're looking at Trey Young, all Oklahoma kids that have done great things at OU. So Brady Manick, I guess, was supposed to play at that high level. I never anticipated him to be, but I knew he would be a good player, a solid player, and he was. And I think progressively, his fifth year. Excuse me. Wow. But so he's, you know. And then with the new coach, I think he's like, you know, I came to play for Lon Kruger. This doesn't fit my no disrespect to Mosier, doesn't fit my style. I'm going to move on. That's what he's done, and power to him. I've never had a problem with him.
I mean, look at his numbers at OU. He averaged double digits every year, but he kind of built up and then dropped down his senior year. You know, he went from 10 to 12 to 15, and then down to back to 10 that last year, and then he gets the extra year this year at North Carolina. He was consistent. It was right below 40% from three every single year at OU, and then again this year at North Carolina at 39. So I think maybe expectations were higher than what they maybe should have been.
I think it's because of what I just said. The Oklahoma kids who go to OU, there's a good history there of great success. Wayman Tisdall, for crying out loud. I mean, when they stayed in state, there's – good, you know, there's been a lot between there, and maybe they were just wanting to, you know, they being the fans, wanting to see that happen again. And listen, it wasn't going to happen with Brady Manick. It just wasn't.
Well, and here's
if you were paying attention, you knew he's not going to be the next Blake Griffin or Trey Young. It's just not him. But he's a solid player.
Well, and
clearly,
I just got a text. He didn't have the same guys around him that he does now.
That's true. That is true.
And I think that's where the hey, he needs to be the man. And he just wasn't that guy. He just wasn't that type of guy, and that's okay.
That is okay.
Another guy from Oklahoma that made a huge impact down the stretch of the Creighton San Diego State game. Trey Alexander, Heritage Hall.
Oh, okay, yeah, that name.
He made the shot to send it in at overtime, and then with just under 2 minutes left, got back to back buckets. One of those an and one that turned a 69-66 deficit into a 2-point lead that Creighton never relinquished. So, man, I remember watching him as a freshman in the regional finals down at Anadarko for Heritage Hall when Elk City was playing well. And it was a really good game, but there just wasn't an answer for that guy even back then. You could just kind of see it. I know he originally committed to Auburn and didn't make it, end up at Creighton. And so He was really good last night with 18 points, 7 of 15 shooting, and the big buckets down the stretch of not only regulation but overtime. What are you looking for today?
Games I'm looking forward to, kind of a rehash of yesterday, LSU-Iowa State for those reasons. Then the first game of the day, Ohio State-Loyola-Chicago, I think could be a really good one. Kind of like yesterday's first game between Michigan and Colorado State.
Doesn't it feel like – I mean, I haven't looked at every single bracket that we've got. By the way, great job by everybody out there, near 50 in the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge with us. Fantastic work, as always, to our listeners. You guys did it again, right near 50. It almost feels like, just listening, that if Ohio State wins, that'll help fewer brackets than if Loyola. Does that make sense? Is that the local bias of Moser being at OU? Is it the bias of Loyola playing pretty well the last couple of tournaments? Because I think more people have Loyola picked than Ohio State.
I think you're right. You're saying if Loyola wins, it's going to help a lot of brackets?
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
yeah, I picked them.
I think more people have them than Ohio State in this
game.
Yeah,
I picked them.
Even though they're the
maybe
10.
Maybe because of the recency bias the last couple of years. Not so much the Moser connection. I mean, that doesn't mean anything.
I just think
he's not there.
But, yeah, but it helps people know who they are.
Oh, sure.
And pay attention to them.
Sure. My big question is the nun still there? Is she
Sister
gonna,
Jean?
Sister Jean.
Yes.
She's. Oh, well, then fine. That's why you pick Chicago. That's why you pick them.
At least she is with us.
I think so.
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay. I haven't. That would have made big news.
Yeah, that's one of the things we'd know. Plus, I heard Moser on the other day, and he was talking about how he still actually has, texts or calls with Sister Jean.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool.
And he was trying. I think he was trying to get her here for one of the games. I can't remember if she came or not. Probably not, since we don't know it. She may not be able to make it very far anymore. I mean, she's like 101, for goodness sakes.
Yeah. She probably has a better escort than the Pope does.
Yeah, you're probably right about that. More fans, too.
Yeah, Chicago. In Ohio State, I don't know. I just feel like Loyola Chicago, they're when you start to get going, look at Gonzaga, 20 years ago. They started, a little Cinderella run, and then they did it again and again. And then all of a sudden they've ingrained this tradition of knowing how to play in the tournament. I think that kind of continues with Loyola Chicago, at least to get out of this first game. Those guys that are still there, they were there for last year and the year before. Like, hey, we know how to do this in this tournament. This is nothing new to us. We are a perennial tournament contender, if that makes sense. So that's why I kind of give them the edge. And then there's Ohio State, who is, I have to look up their record, but a 7 seed, just
19-11.
A little underwhelming for them. At 19-11. Yeah.
Yeah, Big Ten a little underwhelming yesterday.
A little bit.
So was the Mountain West. I got a crazy idea to the committee. No more 4-team Mountain Wests. They're 0-4. They're like 1-1 in their last 12.
Yeah, my Memphis pick looked really good.
And they almost blew it.
They did almost.
Good
they were
grief.
They were okay, and then they almost let Boise State come back. But I had no faith in Boise State.
Yeah, that wasn't the answer. Today, I can't wait to see what happens with Texas Virginia Tech.
Yeah,
Virginia
Tech's a little hot right now.
I wish I could change to Texas. You know why? You know who else was pretty hot coming into the tournament? Iowa. That doesn't make a hill of beans.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
It just
get sucked into it. Oh my gosh, they're playing so well. They just won the Big Ten. Or, if anybody that watched, I watched a little bit of that Duke game with Virginia Tech in the ACC final. And that one dude, golly, what was his name? Couture or something like that? Couture. He couldn't miss. He had like 35. Little dude running around making threes. That doesn't guarantee that they'll be able to do that against Texas. The only problem is if they do make some shots, I'm afraid Texas can't score enough to stay with them. But that's one I got my eye on for sure.
Yep.
I want to see what happens with LSU and Iowa State, just because LSU feels like a team that they could, with all the distraction, could that bring them together? Could it kind of disintegrate things? And then my Cinderella has to win tonight to have a chance to ruin Coach K's send-off. That's the Davidson boys I was just talking about, who allowed – Richmond in the tournament. by losing in that final. Michigan State, then Duke. I mean, everybody's going to be tired of listening to me talk about it on Monday if that happens. It'll be the only thing I got right. We'll do a little check of the brackets before we get out of here. How are you feeling about it?
I'm feeling pretty good.
A Kentucky loss.
Yes, it hurts me, but it hurts everybody, so it's a wash.
And it hurts you less than most because you had them going out in the Sweet 16 anyhow.
Correct.
Question on the text line. It's an interesting one about some recruiting stuff that we'll get to right here before we go to the NFL. Let's take a look at the Western Oklahoma Realty Bracket Challenge standings. As I mentioned earlier, one of the guys that's tied for first, which is Hunt, he's there now. He's done a nice job of picking, but one of the three that he missed yesterday was also his national champion. So it's going to take a while for the, you know, because the cool thing about that ESPN website is it shows you what your max potential is if you got every game right the rest of the way. And so Dylan is way ahead of everybody in that regard. Cleared 1890. So he did a great job. 13 of 16 and didn't lose hardly anybody, making a real difference. I'm going to say, matter of fact, that the guys he lost, he just had them going in one round anyway. So he didn't lose anybody he had in the Sweet 16 because 30 off of 1920 and 1920 was a total. So, yeah, he's in good shape. Hunt not. He's cleared down to 1270. So there'll be people, you know, even though he might be getting some right, people will be blowing by him until everyone else starts losing, you know, Final Four teams, championship teams. But there's three guys tied at the top, Possum and you, Will. Will's either going to win it all or not. Because did you see who his champion was? Alabama.
Huh. Well, Will probably shouldn't do this. Probably shouldn't pick these. No, I'm not going to say it.
While you're drinking?
That's what I was going to say.
That's exactly what happened. Okay. I was there when he filled it out.
You said it, not me.
Here's the deal.
Did he realize this is not a football contest?
I hope he's right, because in another contest that I'm in, I have Alabama.
Because you drawing out.
Randomly drawing him out. That's right.
I see what you're saying.
I hope Will is the smartest guy in the room, because I will end up with more cash in my pocket.
Any concern for Mr. Satilli picking Purdue as his champion?
No, not now. I mean, listen. Now Kentucky's gone. Potential Sweet 16 matchup with them. So, you know, that feels like maybe pretty smooth sailing. I mean, think about this. There's an opportunity that he'll have to beat a 15 seed to get to the Elite Eight.
It's true.
That's pretty sweet action. I'd like to have it. thanks to Tyler, Robbie, all the gang down at Western Oklahoma Realty. Here's the deal. It's impossible to tell right now. Come Monday, once we know the Sweet 16, then you can kind of start seeing it really formulate who's doing really well.
Yeah.
What stadium, Billy?
From the text line, I guess, what stadium is he in?
What stadium is he going to? Oh, here is a picture.
It takes a little bit to get to us. On the text line,
AT&T
says,
Stadium. What's he doing there?
I don't know, a concert? Well, it's a little early to go to a concert.
What are you doing, Billy? Why are you going to AT&T Stadium? Just to look around?
Maybe, you know, they do give tours.
Yeah, maybe hey, kids, we're going down to Jerry World for spring break.
Maybe he went down to Great Wolf Lodge and went over to AT&T Stadium. You know, I'll be there in June.
For what?
Kenny Chesney concert.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. No Shoes Nation, baby.
I'm going to.
Shout out to the No Shoes Nation.
Just a tour.
Oh, awesome. Cool.
That is cool.
Well, get us a shirt.
Dakota asked about recruiting, and this is a big deal. Lebius Overton is
right,
one of the top players in the 2023 class, reclassified to be on campus next fall wherever he goes. He's a defensive end, defensive tackle, defensive end, defensive line guy that's one of the top players in the nation down in Georgia. Now, you hear Georgia, you go, oh, yeah, SEC for sure. Well, his dad is former OU player Milton Overton. So, obviously, that would seem to give the Sooners an in. They already had an in. And then Todd Bates was a guy that was really hot and heavy recruiting him for Clemson, who is now at OU. Obviously, the Venables connection as well. So he's down to five or six, I think, in making his last visits before he settles on somebody. He's obviously not going to be an early enrollee, so it's going to be a guy that gets there in the summertime. From right now, I believe that Oklahoma is his last visit coming up at the end of April, sometime in April. If you're a Sooner fan, you probably hope that's spring game time when you get him on campus. And also, in a twist, they have offered his brother as well.
So they're all in.
So Oklahoma's all in with the Overtons. They'll be on campus sometime in April. And so after that, I would imagine, you know, end of April, 1st of May, we would know whether or not the Sooners are able to snag him. And here's the deal. If they are able to snag Levius Overton, there's another guy in the 2023 class named David Hicks, defensive lineman, that those two are viewed as a package, even though they're not in the same class anymore. They were originally till Overton reclassified. And he's one of the top four or five players in the country right now in the early rankings for the 2023 guys. And supposedly that's a package. So if you can do that, and then if you're a Sooner fan, looking forward to 2024, David Stone, who was from Dell City, went out to IMG.
Yeah.
But he is right now all OU.
Did you hear what he said?
Uh-uh.
Did you read what he said?
No.
He's quoted as saying, "I think the recent hires, they just blew the old staff out of the water so far."
David Stone?
Yeah.
So there
I'm, I'm really enjoying them and spending time with
them. I mean, his Twitter, even though he, you know, the first reaction from OU fans was, you know, a giant gasp and, oh, no, IMG leads down the road to nowhere for the Sooners. Right now, that doesn't look to be the case. You look at his Twitter, that's all it is OU, OU DNA, you know, all the different classes that they name. Right now he's clearly a heavy lean, and not surprisingly because of where he grew up.
Of course,
you know, right there in the middle of, you know, Dell City, and not very far from Norman. So it's interesting. How much of a change would it be if you go from, okay, the Sooners are going to get the top two or three quarterback in the country every other year for however many years, to what? We're getting, the Sooners are getting like top five defensive linemen stacked in classes.
It would be refreshing if you're an
OU fan.
It'd
be totally different.
Yeah, it'd be refreshing, totally refreshing if you're an OU fan, right? Have to be.
Yeah, well, that's just
you'd think eventually that would translate into a power defense. And that's what you're going to need if you're going to the SEC. And clearly that's what the staff right now is focusing on, not just for, you know, immediate success. Like, listen, we got to build this program up for the rigors of an SEC schedule, and that starts on defense.
How funny is it going to be to hear OU, because you know they're going to complain. That's just what OU fans do.
What, when they win 15-7?
Yeah. Oh my gosh, this is terrible. Where's the offense?
I don't care.
Why can't we score 40?
At the end of the day, people remember records, not the score.
Why can't we score 40? Remember when it was blowing people out?
Yeah. There's always going to be those olds that are going to talk like that.
Our news.
Let them be. Let them be. Whatever. At the end of the day,
I think the olds, the olds are going to be happy.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that's going to be what they're used to.
Right.
17-14.
Right. Winning on a defensive stop.
Yes.
And not a field goal. Or insane run at the end of the Cotton Bowl. Yeah. Or inside the Cotton Bowl. Yeah. No, it's a. For me, it'd be refreshing to see a competent defense game in and game out and not have to worry about what liability on the backside is going to – you know what I mean? So it's refreshing for me. And it's an investment when you get guys like this. You're laying the base to have a good defense moving forward to the SEC.
Oh, listen, you're talking about with the guys we're mentioning, these are the guys you see at Alabama. These are the guys you see at Clemson.
Yeah.
These are the guys you see at Georgia, at least from a recruiting standpoint.
Right.
Now, that doesn't mean they turn into it, but from a recruiting standpoint, that's who you're going against for Levius Overton, for David Stone, for David Hicks. This is the guys you're going to go against, guy in and guy out on the recruiting trail. And Oklahoma, you know, the faster they can win one of these battles – the quicker you have a chance at more guys like that. You know what I'm saying? Because then, you know, Overton's going to be somewhere in the fall playing college football as a member of the 2022 class because he jumped up one, right? And so, you know, the faster you can see a guy like this, or that high school kids can see a guy like this performing at a high level for your school, the faster you can get more of them. You know, one of the reasons why I think a lot of Sooner fans are pushing and hoping maybe a little bit for Perrion Winfrey to sneak into the first round, because you know how much cooler it is to tell a guy, hey, we got a guy drafted. It doesn't matter if he's 1 or 32. It's cooler to be a first rounder than, you know, the difference between the 32nd pick at the end of the first round and the 33rd pick to start the second round. It's one spot in the draft order. It's a chasm in the recruiting world to be able to say that. You know, hey, we've had a guy drafted in the first round on defense 2 of the last 3 years after going a decade without one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and you know, I think Oklahoma's going to have a guy coming maybe out next year. If he plays like it looks like he can, then maybe they actually have a defensive back drafted sort of at the top, maybe even in the first round with Woody Washington, and that changes things too. To be able to say, oh, yeah, we haven't had a first round. You know the last first round defensive back taken out of Oklahoma?
Roy Williams? Is he considered that?
It was a year after.
Help me.
Andre Wolfolk.
Ah.
Back-to-back years, and not that was 2002. Well, that was 02.
That's a little bit ago.
Been a while.
Yeah. You mentioned April 2030, so that's when Overton's making his visit. That is
sometime in April. I don't know if it's 2030
or not. According to 24/7 Sports, it is.
It is. Okay. See, I just knew it was in April.
That's the spring game. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the spring game, do you think – it looks like OU is all in trying to get that stadium full.
Yeah.
I think that would ever happen in Norman. Like, I mean full.
I think the idea of it is right, is if you're going to portray yourself on that recruiting trail as one of the best, who gets it full? Alabama.
Sure.
Georgia. Who you know, and so yeah. That's what you're trying to, you know, A&M, as much as you don't want to say it, and they're nowhere near the results on the field, but as far as on the recruiting trail, they're there. With the class they just signed, they're there. And so what are they doing? They're getting basically a full stadium for the spring game. It's a different philosophy. I mean, there's always been, you know, 30 or 40,000, but that's about half.
Right.
I think it'll be interesting.
It would be. I think what helps them –
because it's Brent – because it's their guy coming back, maybe so.
Maybe. And I think what helps them is it's not on national television. It's on the Bally Sports on tape delay. So not only are you handcuffing being able to watch it live, too. I don't get Bally Sports for my mm-hmm. what I use. I would have to pay – I mean, I'd have to totally switch TV providers for me to get it. And that's
and it's not Masters weekend. A lot of times it's been yeah. on the same weekend as the Masters. It's not. It's later.
You want to know the number one – motivating factor I think would get OU fans in that stadium?
What?
You know who also announced to have a spring game
USC.
On that day?
Absolutely.
USC. And you know who's televising that thing?
ESPN.
ESPN with the whole crew. How much of a gut punch OU fans would love to give Lincoln Riley and USC to say, and ESPN, say, we got a stadium full of fans for our spring game. Look what you're covering. There's
oh, yeah.
nobody there.
Yeah, there's not going to be anybody there.
Nobody's going to go to that thing.
No.
By the way, I saw a spring game last night, or yesterday. Georgia Tech had their spring game on St. Patty's Day. I thought it might have been something from last year. No. They had like a St. Patrick's Day-themed spring game.
That's pretty awesome. It's pretty interesting.
Look it up. They were giving fans field sideline seats. It was kind of cool.
Any gimmick will work
yep.
on that deals. Wrapping it up for the week here. Getting ready for the second installment of the first round of the NCAA tournament coming up here in just, gosh, what, as soon as we get off like 11:15, it seems like it's the first tip time for the games. What'd you think about the Adams trade?
Well, yeah, it was one of the big blockbusters we've seen in a couple of years. It came out of nowhere, right? I didn't hear any rumblings or anything about that until it actually happened. I didn't hear anything until we got a text about it.
The only thing I had seen that would even, I mean, you'd have to read the tea leaves big time, was that he did not want to play under the franchise tag this year. He was tagged by the Packers. But to me, that meant, okay, tag him, then this gives us the time to work out a long-term extension. between now and I think it's like July 1st. Instead, they must have done the calculus that because, like you said, because of the deal they gave Rodgers, we're gonna have to get something for him and either hope we can hit on a first-round draft pick, which they got from the Raiders, or free up some money to try to bring somebody else in that maybe not at the caliber of Adams, but when you factor in the money that we're not going to have to pay, maybe it makes sense. There's a guy out there that I think a lot of people are already talking about being at Green Bay, Odell Beckham. Now, obviously he's going to be coming off of an ACL surgery. He looked pretty good at the with the Rams down the stretch, but do they have without Adams there? Does Green Bay have the Cooper Kupp for the Odell Beckham to kind of take the little bit of the attention away and let him not have to be the man? The answer to that question is no, right?
I think so. Yeah, I agree. No. Who else got cut? Somebody got cut yesterday.
Julio Jones.
Right. Is he done?
Oh, I mean, he's not.
He was not what he.
The only reason anybody thinks he's any good because his name is Julio Jones. Because
yeah.
He was at one time.
He was great.
But injuries have kind of mounted on him a little bit. Seems like he's got a hamstring or an ankle or something like that pretty consistently over the last couple of years that have kept him from, you know, kind of riding off in the sunset. Like, the way like Larry Fitzgerald did, how he was still pretty good at the end. Not as good, but better than what we've seen maybe from Julio. Cleveland, has Cleveland this deal up, just like we talked about yesterday? The only difference was we talked about it even with Watson. Cleveland ended up when he got suspended. Instead, they're not even going to get him. So now what they've done is they're not going to get Watson. They've alienated the only quarterback that's won a playoff game for that franchise in 26 years, who has now requested a trade and called it the situation unfixable. Cleveland is hoping against hope that the trade for Watson is made to Atlanta. You know why? Because then they think they can get Matt Ryan from there.
Who, oh, by the way, is on his...
He's 36.
Yeah.
But it's a short term, because what are they going to do? Are they just going to draw a line in the sand and say no? I mean, they've already said they're not going to trade Baker, but are they really going to stand to that? And how's that going to work?
Well, what if they do? Does Baker just hold out? Does he show up to
OTAs? You'd like to think he would play.
Show up to camp?
Maybe he doesn't go to the OTAs, but you'd like to think he would man up and go play. And then at that point, the ball is in his court as far as being able to leave on his own. You know what? I played. You didn't trust me to sign me to an extension. Peace out. And I'm going to ride off with a good season and almost in spite. And you know who's pretty good at doing stuff out of spite?
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. He's pretty good at that.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go, I promised.
Yeah, I want
to. I promised the kids I would make life a little bit more simple for them today. And here's how it goes, okay? Did you see what happened at the NCAA women's swimming?
Unfortunately, I got wind of it, yes.
So here's how I'm going to make my life more simple for you kids. If you're not a girl, swim against the boys. It's that simple. If you're not a girl, swim against the boys.
Yeah.
It doesn't get any more simple than that.
I feel so bad for those ladies.
Did you see the poor girl in tears from Virginia, who would have been a national titleist, except for the dude that was too good at swimming?
I did not.
You didn't? Oh, Emma something. She's a freshman from Virginia.
That's unfortunate.
She would have been a national champ, except for the dude that jumped in the pool with him. And here's, I have a question about this. Why did he get to skip the mandatory post-race news conference? NCAA mandates that the winner goes to the news conference. Why did he get to skip it?
Because he's not a girl? I don't know.
And finally, do you know who else was in that race?
No.
Do you know a man named Pat Forty?
Yeah.
Woke sports writer.
Right.
I mean, toward the top of the Mount Rushmore of woke sports writers. His daughter.
Oh, that's okay.
His daughter was in that race.
Any word from him?
God, no. Haven't heard a thing.
Of course not.
Haven't heard a thing.
No congratulatory tweet.
I mean, surely we're going to get, surely we'll get 10,000 words about what a great thing this was. Won't we?
We won't hear anything.
Are we not going to get 10,000 words about how great it was that his daughter got beat by a dude in the pool?
It's bad for women's sports.
It's a death knell for women. It's not women's sports. It's a dude.
One of his teammates said, not just recently, but back earlier in the season, if I have kids, I hope I just have boys. Because if I have girls, they don't have a chance anymore. Because of stuff like this. This is setting a precedent for others to say, whoa.
I'm not good enough to beat the boys. I'll go beat the girls.
What exactly?
That's what's happened. And
how soon before we start seeing this in women's basketball, softball, track?
That's great. I mean, that's the precedent that's being set.
This person wants to be in the Olympics.
Keep it simple, kids. If you have a penis, swim with the boys.
Well, my advice would be for a simple life, a happy wife. But that comes later in life.
It was like alliteration. You did like a little poem there.
Thank you. A poet, I don't know.
All right, everybody have a great weekend. We'll be back to hash out the bracket busting over the weekend on Monday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.